Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles and turn to the book of, let's go to 1 Corinthians. Let's go there first. 1 Corinthians. Look at the first few verses of chapter 3 in 1 Corinthians. And I, brethren, speaking to the brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. That's a problem today. There are many that have salvation without surrender. They got born again and it was genuine, but Jesus is not Lord of their life. And they become some of these carnal Christians that Paul is going to address here. Now, the reason I'm reading the beginning before we get to the Bema seat is I want you to see the context of the Apostle Paul and what he is saying here. He's saying, I couldn't speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal. Greek word sarxenos means fleshly, selfish, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men, divisive. By the way, that's you and me. We got a problem in the Church of Jesus Christ in the fact that it's too easily to be divided. It's too easy to be divisive, and there to be schisms and separations that aren't necessarily needing to be there. Verse 4 says, for while one saith, I'm of Paul, another, I'm of Apollos, are you not yet carnal? And who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. He's talking about petty differences that don't matter. That's found in the Church of Jesus Christ today. Now, the more we grow in grace, the more truth we learn. But the more truth we learn, the more in love we are with our Savior, and in turn, we love our brethren. And love covers a multitude of sin. Aren't you glad we don't have to agree on every jot and tittle of the Word of God? There are some things that are more important than others. I run into people today that are mid-tribbers. I'm a pre-tribulationist. I run into people that say, I'm a two-point Calvinist. I'm a one-point Calvinist. I'm a no-point Calvinist. And there are so many things that are important, but some things aren't as important as others. For instance, the gospel of Jesus Christ. For instance, telling people how to be born again. For instance, the Great Commission. People are going to grow after that, and we're going to try, but we're going to be prone. I even read about Spurgeonists today. Man, if there is a fan of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, it's Tim Rader. Man, I just read him all of the time. I read his daily devotions. I read him all of the time. And there are those that they're willing to divide. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. Man, I'm of Jesus Christ. And here's the deal. As a Church of Jesus Christ, we are going to have some small differences. And that's okay. And we're going to continue to grow. And the more we get like Jesus, the more we're going to be unified, the more we're going to... Now, I'm not compromising doctrine. I'm not saying that. But there are some teachings that aren't clear in the Word of God. Both sides are there. And you just accept that, and you grow in grace. You hold on to the light that God has given you. He says in verse 5, who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth, he that watereth are one, and every one shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And that's what we're getting to here this morning. And again, the Church of Corinth is divided. They got people there that think they know everything, and they're not willing to give any elbow room to the brethren. I've got dear friends that aren't in my camp as far as exactly where I believe. I got fundamentalist brethren that aren't what I consider in the mainstream of New Testament Christianity, and they're off on little fringes and off on little rabbit trails, and that's fine, man. I still love them, and they're still going to be raptured, and we're still going to be living in heaven together forever and ever and ever. And he's saying to the Church of Corinth, you're dividing over camps. You're separating into camps that you don't, and you don't need to go there. There's important things to separate about. He that planteth, he that watereth are one. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. Now he's using the metaphor of building a building. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Paul was the missionary. Paul was the evangelist, Acts chapter 18, that went to the city of Corinth and evangelized, and that church was planted. Someone came after him. The church of Corinth has a pastor. We're not really sure who the pastor was of the church of Corinth. Some think it was Apollos. I think that might be a stretch. We just don't know. There's something we don't have a lot of light about, but that's fine. God didn't want us to know. He said, here's the deal. Here's what you do have to be concerned about. Take heed how you build upon that foundation. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ, our rock of salvation. Before you can be born, before you can live, you have to be born. Before you can have spiritual life, you need to be born again. And he says here in this verse, verse 11, other foundation can no man lay. The real foundation is Christ our rock. You make sure that you are born again. You make sure that you're a child of God. Otherwise, you're building on the sand. Jesus preached about that. You build on the rock, Christ Jesus, the Petra, the rock, Christ Jesus. What Paul is saying here to the church of Corinth in verse 11 is make sure you're born again. Make sure there was a time and a place where you received Christ as your Savior. It was a heart cry and not a religious act. And you ask in repentance of sin for eternal life. And God answers that prayer every time. You say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm there. When we get to the end of the service this morning, I'll give you opportunity. Don't put it off. Get born again. So he says, first of all, you got the foundation. And then he says in verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. That is Holy Scripture. Entire churches are going to stand before God. And that's the pastor's responsibility. Whether the church is a steepled church on a hilltop here in America, a city church, a country church, a church that meets in a great cathedral, a church that meets in a mud hut somewhere in the jungles, those churches are going to stand before God. That's why it is important that the under-shepherd is in touch with heaven. This church is far from perfect, but we strive and we hold forth the word of God. Some days I get up and I feel like, okay, we got it going, man. We're balanced. We got evangelism and we got young people in Christ and babes in Christ. We got mature people over here. But it gets all muddled up from time to time where the mature people act like the world and the young people act more holy. And I'm talking about the young people in Christ and it gets all, and it's a constant. We are an evangelistic church. That is the calling of God. Also, we equip the saints. If you come to all the services and you get your plate filled at every service, you're going to hear the word of God, the whole counsel of God, and you're going to grow. Sunday school is important. Sunday night is important. Wednesday night is important. You come just on Sunday morning, you're going to get some gospel, you're going to get some evangelism, and you're going to get a little bit of the word of God, but you're not getting enough. And we need to take heed how we build upon that. Now let's kind of leave the church as a whole, as a group, and talk about the individual. Because the Bible says every individual is going to give an account of himself to God. Salvation's free. Salvation is all of grace. Salvation is a gift. I'm going to heaven because of the goodness of God, because of the grace that God, and it's Christ's righteousness. And all I did was receive that gift as a repentant sinner, and I'm born again into the family of God. That is salvation. Now I'm on the right side. Now I'm on the right foundation, and I'm responsible to build a life for the glory of God. To whom much is given, much is required. We got to work for that balance all the time. There's certain things that bother me. Praise God for the ladies that decorated for Christmas. Amen? They did a good job. Say amen real loud. Because I'm going to say something funny about them. I found something wrong, all right? I don't want them to be mad at me. You notice the wreaths on the wall behind the pulpit back there behind the baptistry? You know they're different heights? Did you notice that? That one over here, this one over here is a little higher than that one over there. Yep, you see it? Everybody see it? Amen. We got to fix that, don't we? I think all it is it's hanging on a nail in a different spot on the wreath. But we got to get that thing taken care of. When you see something out of balance, you got to work on it. Now, praise God for those ladies. They worked hard. They did a lot of decorating. I'm thankful for them. I'm very thankful for them. They even come to me and said, you think it's too much? Yeah, you know, I said, no, it's perfect. It's subtle. It's just the way I like it. And I so much appreciate it. I'm not making fun of them this morning, but first thing I noticed when I come into church this morning, right there, right? Now, if we as a church, if we as individuals aren't complete, in our service for God, we will stand before him. I, as a pastor, am going to give account for a lot. Because you know what? The buck stops here. When Fundamental Baptist Church is called forth, I'm the guy. I recognize that. Therefore, things are done a certain way around here. And even if I'm wrong, okay, I'll stand before God. If I'm not wrong, then don't disrespect authority. You know, just we've got to be together. We can't divide over things that aren't important. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. Every individual is going to give an account of themselves before God. The Father hath committed, John chapter 5 and verse 22, all judgment unto the Son. The great William Scrogel said this about the judgment seat. It will be a thorough, investigative examination of every Christian's life. And then he said, I would rather go through the tribulation than stand before God as a carnal Christian. That's powerful. That is powerful. We stand before God. Your mama is not going to be there for you. Your grandpa is not going to take the heat. It'll be you standing before God. You say, okay, Pastor, I think I understand that. What's it all about? Let's look again at verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, and that is our calling, we're still here, we still have life, build upon this foundation, two categories of works, gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. By the way, I got to say this so we all have understanding. When we stand at the bema seat of Christ, it is not for our sin to be judged. The book of Colossians and chapter 2 and verse 14 said that Jesus took my sin to the cross and he blotted out the handwriting of the ordinances of the law that were against me. So all that law that I couldn't fulfill, all that law that I just desperately failed in, Jesus came and he fulfilled the law. Jesus is he's our Sabbath, he's our rest. Because of what he did, my sin was judged, listen to this, 2,000 years ago at Calvary. 2,000 years ago on Golgotha's Hill, the Son of God bore my sin. So that when I stand before God at the bema seat, it isn't whether I'm going to heaven or whether I'm going to hell. If I'm there at the judgment seat of Christ, I'm part of the family of God and I'm already in heaven. And I am there for my life to be examined. My sin has already been covered. My sin has already been taken away. It was nailed to the cross, the scripture says. But my life is going to be examined. To whom much is given, much is required. Now, don't raise your hand this morning. How many read your Bible the way you ought to? Man, how many study the Word of God the way you ought to? We can find time for everything else. How many have a prayer closet and spend the time in prayer that we have? After we got done with a pastor's prayer meeting last night, there are preachers on there from Texas and Virginia. There's a revival going on right now in Good Shepherd Baptist Church. I think that's the name of the church in Virginia. They had, listen to this, 2,000 people saved last week. Can you believe that? And I'm talking to the preacher, and he's a humble Southern boy, and he's just crying and weeping. You know, it's like God is greatly at work right now, and I want to be part of that. And maybe we don't have a metropolitan area around us, but we got sinners that need to be saved, need to be born again. We got off of that prayer meeting. We prayed for about 45 minutes. There was a lot of preachers, and we all prayed, and we all respected one another's time, so we didn't all pray lengthy. And I closed my Bible and turned off the light by my easy chair because that's where I was praying. And I was going to go into my bedroom and God turned me around. I went right back and got on my knees and in my living room and had some time with God. I am telling you, we are not what we ought to be. There's no preaching on the holiness of God, not like there ought to be. When the Church of Jesus Christ recognizes and grabs a hold of the holiness of God, all the foolishness will be done away. All the unimportant things, they'll be done away. All of our wicked, carnal worship and trying to incorporate the world into the church, it'll all be done away. Some questions for the young people. Who is going to be at the bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ? Every single child of God. I already quoted several scriptures. Every individual believer. You say, why is it going to take place? According to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 17, turn over there. Just go ahead and turn over there. We're in the same book. Chapter 9 and verse 17. Why there will be a judgment seat of Christ? Because we are responsible. Every single one of us. Romans 1:14, Paul said, I am a debtor, both to the Jew and to the Greek, both to the wise and to the unwise. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 9, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. That's what we're preaching on this morning. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. In other words, I'm built for this day. I am built for such a time as this. God had Tim Rader born in the year that I was born, and I'm alive right now during this church age by design of God. Same is true with you. And you're responsible for a specific period of time, a window in the history of mankind, and we are debtors to get to everybody we can the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to stand before God. That's an awesome and a terrible thought. I know I'm saved by grace, and I'll owe everything I have to the Savior. And there I am. My name's going to be called, and I'm going to be standing before Him, and how little I have done for God is going to be revealed, and I'll be rewarded accordingly. How many have ever gone to the principal's office when you were growing up? Your teacher said, Timmy, maybe he didn't call you Timmy, but you go down and see Mr., I won't mention his name. And I sat in the outer office and waited for about 10 years. That's what it seemed like. That's what it seemed like. How many remember when the principal gave swats? Oh, man, that was something just between a spit bath and the electric chair. You know, right there. That's how serious it was. And my principal helped little Timmy Rader. One day we're going to stand, it won't be no swats, but we'll stand before the King, Jesus. My heart will be right with Him. I'm sure I'll weep for how little I've done, and I owe Him so much. The who is every individual child of God, born again believer. The why is because we're responsible. The where is in the heavenlies, somewhere between Revelation chapter 4 and 1 and Revelation chapter 19 and verse 1. Somewhere between the rapture of the church and Armageddon, the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm sorry, that's before Armageddon. Somewhere in that short span of time, that's where the Bema Seat is. It might be, I don't know this, it might be as soon as you go home to heaven. It might be that if you were to pass away this afternoon, that you'd be standing in the presence of God at the Bema Seat. I kind of hope it is, because if I go home before the rapture, I really don't relish the idea of enjoying heaven. I don't think I'd really be enjoying heaven knowing my appointment is still coming. You know, it could be that it happens right away. It might be all in one day, but we know this. It's going to happen sometime during the tribulation up in the heavenlies. That would be the where. The when is during the tribulation, but up in the heavenlies. And what is going to be revealed? What is going to happen? He says again in verse 10. Let me go over this. He says, take heed how you build. There is no foundation other than Jesus. You make sure you're born again. Verse 12. And when you build upon this foundation, it'll be revealed whether you used gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. That's symbolic. You say, metaphors. You say, what does that mean? It'll be determined if what you did in the name of Christ was really for Christ, or whether it was wood, hay, and stubble for praise, for promotion, for self-honoring, or whether you really did it for Christ. It'll be the quantity of what we did and the quality of what we did. It goes deep. Why did you do what you do, what you did when you did it? What was the motivation? What was the purpose? Why did you sing in the choir? Why did you teach at Sunday school? Why did you work the bus route? Why did you clean the church? Why is it you fellowshiped with the brethren? Was it always selfish? Was it always just to get something? Some people are takers. That's all they are. And it's unfortunate. And that's what a baby is, right? A baby's a taker. Oh, I love them. Yeah, but the babies, they're not givers. They're takers. You give what you can give. You whatever God has put on your plate, God prepares you, and you're able to do more and more and more for the glory of God. Go to Matthew 6. Hold your hand here. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Jesus taught parables concerning this. Jesus says here in Matthew 6, 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. So the deal is, you can send things ahead. You can serve God right now. You're going to be rewarded for every little thing you do for God. It doesn't matter that mankind doesn't know who did it. You're doing it because you're in love with God. Man, that is gold, that is silver, that is precious stones. And the day is going to reveal it. The day is going to make it very, very known. You see, you can fool some of the people all the time, and maybe all of the people some of the time. You can fool your dad, you can fool your mom, and you can fool the preacher. But you can't fool God. He knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly what you think. He knows exactly your mindset. He knows what you glance at. He knows where you go. He knows what you do. He knows the verbiage that comes to your mind right away. We are such a wicked and wretched people apart from the grace of God. And we're going to be rewarded accordingly. You don't need to be a spiritual giant to serve God. You may not know a lot of Bible. Maybe you just got born again. Maybe you just got saved, but you love Jesus and you're telling other people about Jesus. There's a reward for that. On the other hand, maybe you're somebody who's been saved a long time and it's all kind of old hat. You're not against God, but you really don't serve God. You serve yourself when it's convenient. You plug God in. That's wood, hay, and stubble. The fires are going to burn it. Let's read on back in 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. Every man's work, verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Fire speaks of judgment. We read of the eyes of Christ in Revelation in chapter 1 as a flaming fire. There's three words in this one verse that have always bothered me. The words are manifest, declare it, and revealed. For everybody to see, Tim Rader's life is going to be examined. For Jesus to see, there'll be no doubts. I won't be able to deny anything, because that's the Son of God. He indwelt me the whole time. He was right there with me. There needs to be a cleansing in the Church of Jesus Christ. As a people of God, we need to become more like Jesus. He said, when will this judgment take place? I think I already covered that. The what? Take heed. Verse 11. Must be born again. Verse 12, two kinds of work, temporary and eternal. It's not just quantity, but it's quality as well. And it'll be a wide open judgment. I used to hear preachers when I was growing up preach on a topic like this and very eloquently mention New Testament, believers and saints, call them by name, some contemporary, some like D.L. Moody. People that were martyred for the cause of Christ, and we're standing in line for the Bema seat, and they're martyred, and they look over at me and say, hey, brother, what did you do for God? Well, I was kind of tired on Sunday night, and I didn't really go to church. Wednesday night, that's prayer meeting. You know. Can you imagine the shame? Even though Christ has forgiven us, even though we're going to stand before him and our loving, and then we're rewarded and we lay those crowns at Jesus' feet at a great event called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. It happens just before the Battle of Armageddon. We'll be studying that in Sunday school real soon. And as far as I know, there are five crowns mentioned in the Word of God. You might want to write these down because some of the young people were asking about this. First of all, there's the crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. This has nothing to do with talent. This has everything to do with faithfulness, being the best you can for the glory of God, and never dying, never quitting, never throwing in the towel, never giving up. Crown of righteousness, crown of incorruption. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, and that is the crown of self-control. God, help me to be solid. Some of you old guys tell me this. As you get older, are you more and more short-tempered? Because I'm worried about myself. It's like I get frustrated real fast and real easy. Is that a normal thing? You old men say amen. Amen. I'm hurting. I'm in trouble. I think you're afraid to say amen. As a child of God, we need self-control. God will reward you if you have self-control. If you've got an area of sin, a place that isn't good for you, if you have a thought process, if you've got some emotions you have a hard time controlling, God will bless you. As you get victory over that, you'll be rewarded for that. It's not all for nothing. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. There's the crown of righteousness. There's the crown of incorruption. There's the crown of life. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Every trial is an opportunity for growth. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. There is a crown of life that is victory in tribulation, victory in tests, victory in trials. Don't look at temptations and tough times and trouble as all negative. This is an opportunity to lay up treasures in heaven. You can be victorious over that, and it'll help you grow not only here in this earth and equip you better for future uses of God, but also there'll be rewards in heaven. That is the crown of life. Then there's the crown of glory, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, and that is for the pastors. That is for the under-shepherds. I know some real godly men pastoring churches, and they shame me. I know some men that are students of the word. I know some men, it doesn't take long when you're around them, you figure out who they are. These guys have, you know, they've got a hold of heaven in prayer. And they know. Some of them are really good preachers. Some of them are just pastors. I shouldn't have said just. Some are pulpiteers. Some love people. Some both. But there's a reward for the pastor. Would you pray for the pastors here at Fundamental Baptist Church? Would you pray that we would never compromise? Would you pray that we wouldn't get a cold heart? Because there's a lot of negativity. Would you pray that we stay in love with our Savior, Jesus? Would you pray that we'd just be a firebrand for the cause of Christ? Crown of glory. And then the last crown, the crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. That is a soul winner's crown. That's leading others to Christ. There are rewards. It's called the crown of rejoicing. Now, I want to challenge you here this morning. Don't be satisfied with just living forever. Get everything you can get done for God. I promise you that any trial on this earth, Romans chapter 8 and verse 17, is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed hereafter. I promise you that every battle that you have called to and every spiritual battle that you have to fight, if you'll stand tall for God and if you'll be bold, there'll be great rewards in heaven. And you'll be blessed while you're down here on this earth as well. So don't be satisfied with just living forever. Live for the glory of God. I'd like to close with a verse that's a little different than what I've been preaching through. Go to 2 Corinthians and chapter 12. And I don't have this written down. I think this is what God had had me to end with this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me review real quickly. There's a day coming we stand before God. Our sin was judged. You got born again, your sin was judged, nailed to the cross in the person of Jesus Christ. He who knew no sin became sin for us. That is Jesus, the Savior of the world. And right now you fast forward to the year 1968. I repented. I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sin. I asked him to come into my heart. I was born again. My sin was nailed to the cross. Glory to God. I'm going to heaven. Now I have that foundation of Jesus, and I'm to build a life for the glory of God. Again, don't be satisfied with just living forever. Live for the glory of God. So here I am born again. Now I can build this life. And I'm to build not with wood, hay, and stubble. That's everywhere. There's so much frivolity. There's so much shallowness. There's so much deluded religianity going on out there. But man, I want to get closer and closer and become more and more like Jesus. I want to learn my Bible better and better and win more and more people to Christ. And I'm to build upon that foundation. And there'll be rewards. The wood, the hay, and the stubble, that's all going to be taken away. Some people are saved, yet so as by fire, the scripture says. In other words, there will be people at the Bema seat that did nothing for God. Some of them get saved just before the rapture or just before death. Some of them got saved, but they're selfish. They're babies. That's what Paul said. They're carnal. They're carnal Christians, and they're doing nothing for God. They'll stand before God with a pile of ashes. But the gold, the silver, and the precious stones, they'll be crowns. The day will declare it. It'll be manifested. It'll be revealed by fire. And there won't be any mistakes. And the rewards will be real. You can fool some of the people all the time. All of the people some of the time. But you'll never God.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.